Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for August the 16th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is hour two of two, and the goal always to promote God, family, and country, and to protect life, liberty, and property, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the broadcast. The good Sheriff Richard Mack is with me. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Well, thank you very much, Sam. It's great to be with you this beautiful Tuesday morning.
All right, so we had some incredible events, ladies and gentlemen. We had our press conference, which was out of this world, awesome. CNN and others literally wanted to cover it. They loved it. Well, in the efforts to destroy us and to dishonestly report and misrepresent and et cetera, one of those efforts was done by Sarah over at CNN. Shame on Sarah. Because she literally did an hour and a half, hour and 25-minute interview. But it turned out to be nothing more than a hit piece on the good sheriff because she boiled it down to about 4 or 5 minutes of a total interview. But yet she used other sheriffs, talked about them for the first half or more of it. And then she put a little bit about Sheriff Mack, but she didn't highlight any of the salient points. She didn't cover any of the reality checks. For example, Sheriff Mack won at the Supreme Court. She didn't highlight that. Sheriff Mack talked about a one-sentence statement about what we teach at the CSPOA and why. She didn't include that. There were several debates that she virtually lost, had her head handed to her. She didn't highlight any of those. All she did was try to make it out to be the sheriff is a violent, belligerent guy that wants to create anarchy and literally destroy America. The problem is Sheriff Mack was wise enough to record in audio the whole interview. That has now been released so people can see the hatchet job on CNN. Anderson Cooper, hatchet manipulated, leave 90% of the interview plus on the cutting room floor and put together a false, dishonest, immoral narrative. Or you can listen to the whole interview if you go to CSPOA.org and you can hear the whole 100 hour and 25 minute interview. And you can hear exactly the exchanges between the two. And they fought about everything, ladies and gentlemen. They fought about democracy versus a republic, which we'll get into later. I've got a soundbite for this. They fought about anarchy if sheriffs decide for themselves. Sheriffs have the ability to choose. They have the ability to decide, you know what, I'm not going to give you a traffic ticket today, sir. I'm going to give you a warning. Have a good day. They decide those things. They have the right of discretion, ladies and gentlemen. And she tried to pretend they don't. With regards to slavery, she tried to set herself up because she's supposedly black, that she somehow is the authority on slavery. I disagree with that narrative as well. She made it sound like the slaves in America were the most abused people. Well, she wants you to believe that blacks were the most abused people. If I say you're out of your cotton picking mind, she'll say I'm a racist. But just so you know, my Alabama forebears on my birth family were cotton pickers and they were white, just so you know. And when it was so dang mind-numbing hot and back-breaking, mind-numbing pain and heat and everything else, they would say, are you out of your cotton picking mind? Because it will drive you out of your mind to pick cotton in the heat like that. It has nothing to do with racism, folks. My white ancestors picked cotton. Alabama, which is a white singing group, sings about, you know what, they picked cotton. And they were so broke they didn't even know it, but they picked cotton all day. But it made them have great memories of hard work and family and love. And okay, this is the narrative that we teach. They teach a completely different narrative. Well, if you want to talk about the most abused people in the country ever in American history, it isn't the Indians. It isn't the blacks. It's the Mormons, the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. No group has ever been under an extermination order by a sitting governor, Governor Boggs, where it was like shoot women, men, children on sight if they don't flee the country, if they don't leave. And so they left in the middle of winter and they crossed the Great Plains. It is one of the most abusive reality checks in not only American history, but in history, period, bar none, Sheriff. And personally, I think those kind of things should be discussed with the poor victim.
Yeah, and if they're ever going to, they want not reciprocity, but to pay blacks for their ancestral slavery, reparations.
Reparations, yeah. Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, so if they want to, they want all the taxpayers today to pay for reparations. And I can actually.
Yes, Mormons are going to get a big old check, aren't we, brother?
Yeah, but I believe the Mormons should join that reparation thing. And in fact, as a protest, I probably would join that, you know, because certainly some of my ancestors were in the handcart companies that did cross the plains. And so, in fact, my membership in the Mormon Church goes all the way back to almost the very beginning of the restoration of that church. So I was going to say foundation, but I guess you could say that in a sense. I'm all in favor of that, if they want to. But if they do it to everybody, they're going to have to first start with the American Indian. With the Native Americans. And so after that, then they're going to have to go to the Asians who were forced into labor camps. And it's going to go on and on and on. And by the time you're done, the Irish are going to be included to what happened to them in New York.
And on. Yeah, it never ends with the wrongs and the abuses, ladies and gentlemen. I choose to look forward with faith and hope of the greatest country on the face of the earth and say, despite the problems we all had, let's make sure we never repeat those negative things in history, but let's focus on what matters most. But you guys argued about democracy versus a republic. You argued about race and slavery versus the abuse of wearing a diaper on your face and masks. Mm-hmm. And really, you guys debated this issue about the January 6th issue as well. And what they want to do is sling mud and include every one of us in January 6th, Sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know what, you're guilty just by association or by, what do you want to say, political ideology maybe, that somehow you're guilty. And I find this narrative deplorable, Sheriff, this idea that you're guilty because you believe in the Constitution and those who wouldn't believe in the Constitution. Is that the association? I'm not really sure how this dishonest narrative even has legs, but it does because of Sarah and others continuing to push that dishonest, in my opinion, disconnected from reality narrative.
Yeah, and if people want to look her up, her name is Sarah Sidner, S-I-D-N-E-R, Sarah Sidner. And there was, I feel like Luke Skywalker on Star Wars when he was trying to claim that there was still goodness in his dad and Darth Vader. There were a couple of times where I felt like she was a decent person, and I wanted to tell the evil people, they're the evil ruler who I don't even remember his name, that was above that, brought up Darth Vader, that made him the evil man he was. I want to go to that person at CNN and say, I really think there's some decency in Sarah Sidner. You need to let her go and let her do her own shows instead of make her promote the CNN narrative, the CNN woke narrative, where she always has to be negative about even things that are very positive. Sidner,
and she can't even give an inch of ground when she even agrees with something. So, for example, she agreed with you that you won at the Supreme Court. She agreed with you that, Rosa Parks, she shouldn't have been arrested. She agreed with some of those things, but none of her agreeing with you was in the interview. None of it. Well, in the CNN aired interview, it was in the recorded complete discussion pre-interview, if you will. That's my point, is that none of the truisms, none of the common ground. So I'm going to bring up some common ground points that you and Sarah had. And by the way, I don't think Sarah's a bad person. I just think she has no choice or she's gone. They will use the velvet hammer on her. Sarah, we love you. You're one of the best hosts ever. You're one of the best news gatherers ever. We love you. You'll get a raise, but make sure you don't give an inch to the terrorist Richard Mack. Oh, was it Harry Reid that called him a terrorist wrongfully? Harry Reid should have been in prison for his attack, or he should have been sued. Sheriff Mack should have won big money for that. But no. So now Sarah then, the common ground for Sarah and Richard, folks, is this. They agreed that Rosa Parks was wrongly abused by the cops. They agree that Martin Luther King had a lot of good things to say. They agree that Sheriff Mack won at the Supreme Court. They agree that, you know, Richard was right on several points. They agree on a lot of things, but none of that made it to the interview. I think a lot of it should have, Sheriff.
Yeah, that would have been nice if she would have portrayed, you know, both sides of me, of CSPOA. If she would have said, you know, because she asked me, what about the lies that have been told about you? And I got to tell her the lies. But she, of course, never put that in. The biggest lie from Southern Poverty Law Center saying that I'm a domestic terrorist. And yet I told her, I said, in 20 years of law enforcement, I never committed an act of violence. I never shot anybody. I never hit anybody with my nightstick. I never slugged anybody with my fist. I never won.
And you know what, though, Sheriff? She never even thanked you for that or said, good job, we appreciate it, that's real leadership.
Oh,
she never even gave a decent, honorable kudos to that reality. 20 years of peaceful behavior as a police officer. All she did was attack the cops. They even agreed there was bad cops that need to be stopped. That didn't make the interview. Shame on Sarah. Hang tight, Liberty Roundtable Live.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Sheriff Richard Mack and Sam Bushman on your radio telling the tale of truth. We are truth tellers. And I think Sarah is a good person, but she'll lose her paycheck. She's so woke she can't see straight or consider anything. She didn't, in my opinion, honestly give kudos to Sheriff Mack on any point he made. He did give her some credit on some things. He would say, I agree with that, or yes. But they had a lot of arguing or a lot of disagreement. Because she would continue to dig in on things that are absolutely not even debatable. One of them is the democracy idea. Richard basically said, hey, I got a problem with democracy. And she literally kind of, why do you have a problem with democracy? Well, let me explain to you, Sarah, the reason I have a problem with democracy. Because you think we have one. Yeah, that silence is on purpose. Because you think we have one, Sarah. We don't have a democracy. We have a constitutional republic. That's the part you're not getting. So here's a soundbite that she did not air that we will. Sheriff Richard Mack and Sarah in the before the cutting room floor interview, the whole interview, available at CSPOA.org. Here's the exchange, and then we'll comment after.
Everybody has their own lane of traffic. The president has his. The sheriff has his. The FBI has theirs, even though they don't like to stay in theirs. Everybody has their assignment. And the checks and balances are that we keep each other in each other's lane. And you know what? This still really bothers me, that no one wants to know what my decision said or did. We don't have to follow this. This is just a Supreme Court decision. People say, I pick and choose. You're the one picking and choosing. You don't want to go by this decision. The sheriffs don't want to go by this decision.
Law enforcement, so that's not my purview. I'm just going to ask questions.
Speaking
of which, what is your biggest concern with democracy in America? What's your biggest concern?
Well, first of all, I don't like it that people don't know that we're not a democracy. We're not a democracy.
What are we?
We are a republic. Let's see the pledge. And to the republic for which it stands. So people don't even know that basic difference, and it is a big difference. The founding fathers did not like democracy. You don't see democracy in any of our foundational documents. None. Not one. But you do see the word republic. And you do see that our republic is a constitutional republic, and that all of it's based on the rule of law established in the Constitution. And yes, I'm not going to violate that for anyone.
Not the legislature coming up with laws, not the federal government, not the
state government. So you think the legislature can break the law, and we're supposed to go along with them?
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That's the problem with this thing. She literally thinks that, hey, the Constitution doesn't matter. That the Constitution doesn't have any relevancy to you or me. She really believes that. She believes we're a democracy. She literally wasted time arguing with Sheriff Richard Mack as if we have a democracy. No, we don't, ladies and gentlemen. When you swear an oath to become a government official of any kind, sheriff, legislator, president, any of the three branches, judge, whatever, you swear an oath to what, Sarah? Do you swear an oath to the latest shenanigan legislative manipulative dishonesty? Remember back in the day, Sarah, just so you know, the government got involved in marriage because the government didn't want white people. They didn't want white women to marry black men. So government got involved, Sarah, just so you know, in marriage and said, hey, white women cannot marry black men. Are you aware of this? Now, do you think that legislative view is right? Do you think that should be obeyed, or do you think sheriff should say, you know what, you're off your rocker? Whether you believe in racial segregation or separation, whether you believe white people shouldn't marry black people or whatever, that's your own beliefs, which we're not going to get in the middle of. But the fact is, the government has no authority to prevent those. So what do you obey when you swear an oath? Back to this, Sarah, you got to understand this principle. You don't swear an oath to the latest legislative we're going to murder babies agenda that they're trying to pass right now. You swear an oath to the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, Sheriff. And she's getting an education here, but she chooses not to even learn. She just argues. And then she chooses not to share that education with her audience either, Sheriff.
Yeah, and from a historical perspective, as you just alluded to, how about going back a little bit further than miscegenation? How about going back to the Fugitive Slave Act? And that was Harriet Tubman. Was she a criminal? According to Sarah from CNN, she should have been arrested and executed according to the law, and that she was a criminal instead of a person dedicating herself to the freedom of others. So, yeah, that would have been one I should have brought up. I should have brought up Harriet Tubman, because I think that would have also, again, put her in her place. And I felt I did a really good job. In fact, I told you, and I'll say this to your Liberty Roundtable audience today. It was one of the best interviews I've ever done, where I really felt that I said what I wanted and needed to say. In hindsight, as I look back at it, yeah, I should have hit a couple of things a little harder. I should have brought up miscegenation. I should have brought Harriet Tubman. I should have asked her, as you pointed out last hour, a couple of more poignant questions. And a couple of times I did, but and I get the thing about putting her on the spot with a question. And I'm still learning that. And I've told myself, remember, ask the question to him, you know, and just like in an interrogation. But honestly, after I was done, I really felt so comfortable with the interview and what I said. And her last statement to me is, I promise you this will be fair. And I guess that's like saying that rich people should pay their fair share. You never really know what that is, and that's up open to interpretation. And that's another thing she was really key on, that the laws and the Constitution and the laws are all open to interpretation. And I told her that's not true, and that the word interpretation or interpret is not anywhere in the Constitution. So she's been brainwashed over the years. You know, as I interviewed with her, I didn't think she was that bad of a person. After she aired the part that actually got on CNN, her story on CNN, and how she and Anderson Cooper played this little, oh, isn't this Sheriff Mack really a horrible guy? And, oh, he couldn't believe on the story they did. He couldn't believe that I was ever a law enforcement officer. And then she goes, well, yeah, he trains other law enforcement. And then he said, oh, great, you know. And that was allowed. And Anderson Cooper only had one side. And that was allowed because Sarah Sidner lied about me in what they aired.
And, well, and so see, that's really the problem, Sheriff, though. She knows better. But we knew her agenda going in.
Of course.
When she says she would be fair, what I'm going to do now is we've got the CNN interview. So they took a 125-minute interview, and they cut it down to 6 minutes.
No, 85 minutes. 85 minutes.
That's right. An hour and 25-minute interview that she cut down to 6 minutes and some odd seconds. But here's the problem. Most of that 6 minutes is not even about you.
No.
Which I'm okay with, but what they tried to do was attack all sheriffs. So what I have now is I have the whole CNN interview that we're going to play, but I'm going to have my producer pause so that we can make comments along the way and compare and contrast it to the literal complete interview. Now, I get, ladies and gentlemen, that she cannot interview the complete interview. What CNN can do, though, is they can play their short clip for the news channel, but they can also post the complete interview so people can watch extended interviews. But what they like to do is create entrapment with sound bites.
Right.
And what they like to do is string sound bites together, leaving the real narrative on the cutting floor to tell their agenda driven, their propaganda driven stories. And that's why America is so confused today. And that's why we've got to do this. So Richard was brilliant to record this interview. And what I find fascinating is CNN calls up Sheriff Mack and says, hey, Mack, we'd like to do an interview. And Sheriff says, sure. They say, we're going to come and meet. Sheriff says, okay, let's come to my house. Now, I know it was your daughter's house, but same difference, right? Your territory, your turf, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
And she literally waltzes in and you say, I'm going to record the interview. And she's like, no, you can't. Now, let me be rude for a second. Let me be blunt. Who the hell says she's in charge? Okay, does she think because she's black that she's in charge and you're white?
Yeah,
is this a racial discussion? Is this a she thinks that she's God because she works for CNN, so CNN controls the narrative? She's on your private property in your house asking for you to do her a favor and grant her an interview. And that she has the audacity to pretend that she calls the shots? Sarah, shame on you, ma'am. Wow, this just shows how aggressive, abusive, and dishonest, and how the mainstream press feels so entitled now, don't they? But anyway, we'll come back and play this interview she had, and we'll talk about it as we go.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The U.S. Justice Department on Monday said it opposes unsealing the affidavit that prosecutors used to obtain a federal judge's approval to search former President Trump's Florida home, where they seized boxes and took the president's passports. Now that the country is in a recession, the last thing government should be doing to correct the problem is spending more money, yet that's exactly what President Biden and Democrats are doing today. With zero Republican support, Biden will be signing a check for $739 billion and is projected to prolong the financial woes in this country. President Biden's tax and spend bill is scheduled to go into law today when the ink hits the paper. President Biden on the bill.
The American people are going to see lower prescription drug prices, lower health care costs, and lower energy costs.
For more information, visit us online at usaradio.com. We are USA Radio News.
Make money doing what you love. It can be done. Matter of fact, it has been done. Consider the story of Jack London. He's one of the highest paid writers of all time. Authored The Call of the Wild, recently released as a blockbuster movie starring Harrison Ford. Jack grew up in a rough neighborhood in Oakland, poor, uneducated, and a school dropout. As a child, Jack fell in love with the idea of being a writer. The notion that an uneducated, dirt-poor school dropout from Oakland could someday be a published writer was insanity. You know the rest of the story, though. Jack London became one of the richest writers of all time. Discover Jack's secret that allows anyone of any income or educational level to make money doing what they love. Whatever it is you love more than anything else, let's make that your prosperous living. Go right now to discoveringjack.com. That's discoveringjack.com. His secret is free. Just go to discoveringjack.com. Discoveringjack.com.
Investors are eyeing a week of key retail earnings. Walmart and Home Depot are set to post results today. Starbucks is claiming union workers in the United States are using unfair labor practices.
Starbucks is asking the National Labor Relations Board to suspend all union elections at its stores in the U.S. They're citing allegations from a board employee that regional NLRB officials improperly coordinated with union organizers. The coffee giant said that the unnamed employee told the company about what happened at the board's St. Louis office last spring while it was overseeing a union election at a Starbucks in Overland Park, Kansas. A spokesperson for the agency said it doesn't comment on open cases. Of the more than 300 Starbucks stores in the U.S., more than two-thirds of them have voted to unionize despite the company's opposition. For USA Radio News, I'm Kenneth Burns in New York.
NASCAR racing will be in Watkins Glen, New York this weekend. We are USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. So now we're going to play the CNN interview that Sarah cut down to 6 minutes, and we're going to talk about it, ladies and gentlemen. Go ahead, Cameron. I'll tell you when to stop, and we'll talk about pieces. Here's the interview that aired on CNN.
Given the number of election deniers who could get elected this fall, it is worth looking to members of law enforcement who might be called on to do their bidding in coming elections.
Ladies and gentlemen, election deniers is how they start out. Are you an election denier, Sheriff? Do you deny there's elections?
No, the elections are happening. I've never denied.
Yes, they are. So we're not denying elections. Now, they want to use that because they love these little phrases that manipulate you into a false narrative. We're not election deniers. We agree elections happen. We just say oftentimes there's fraud in the elections, which they're the election fraud deniers. Go ahead, Cameron.
As seen in Sarah Seidner, discovered some of those sworn officers already acting on their own, conducting their own investigations, despite all evidence on the 2020 vote.
Pause. Not despite all evidence. That's a lie, because if there's four investigations underway right now, ladies and gentlemen, you can't say that all evidence is in. If I've got an ongoing investigation, you have to wait for that investigation to be complete, Sheriff.
And that's another thing, because I called William Barr a liar, because he said there was no fraud. Or he said, there might have been a little fraud, but it wasn't enough to change the election. But you see, why he's a liar is he's top law enforcement official and top prosecutor and attorney in the entire country. And yet he offered no investigation, none.
But despite all evidence, they claim, when there's evidence still in a current investigation, how do you say all evidence says there's nothing if there's current investigations underway? Do you have respect for the rule of law in current investigations?
You missed something else that he said that was very powerful. He said by sworn officers. Sworn officers? Really? What are they sworn to do? Anderson Cooper, tell me what these officers are sworn to do.
Okay, but we haven't even got 30 seconds into this thing yet. Go ahead, Kim.
Outside of Kansas City and the state's largest county, the chief law enforcement officer has joined ranks with people who refuse to let the 2020 election lie die.
How many of you voted last year?
He didn't refuse anything. What happened is citizens came to him and demonstrated probable cause of election fraud. He said, I'm going to take that probable cause and find out if there's more to it, which he's currently doing now with an open investigation. A person came to the sheriff and said, listen, my mother is too feeble to vote. She's elderly, and there's no way she voted, but they voted on her behalf. There's something wrong here. That's how that started. He's ignoring that whole narrative and acting like, oh, this elected official now, the sheriff is going along, chief law enforcement officers going along with the ne'er-do-wells who claim there's election fraud without evidence. He's just lying through his teeth, ladies and gentlemen. Go ahead, Cam.
Wait, there's another thing. There's another thing there, Sam. Wait. Sarah Sidner reported that Kansas went for Trump by 15%. What's unusual is Sheriff Hayden's county, I think it was Johnson County, for the first time in 120 years, voted for a Democrat. So Biden won in his, so she's lying again, even though the state may have gone for Kansas. This county, very unusually, which is almost probable cause for an investigation, his county, Sheriff Hayden's, did not go for Trump. They actually supposedly.
Yeah, which again is more probable cause.
Exactly.
All right, go ahead, Cam.
Put your hands down. Now, how many of you think your vote counted? Yeah, see, this is exactly why I'm doing what I'm doing.
That's Sheriff Calvin Hayden of Johnson County, Kansas, just last month at a conference in Las Vegas, still questioning the validity of the 2020 election results, even though Donald Trump won his state by 15 points.
Repeat after me.
The nearly two-year-old certified vote where Joe Biden beat Donald Trump by 74 electoral votes and more than 7 million popular votes.
There's a lot of stuff going around about what happened in this election. Quite frankly, I don't know. But I'm looking. And what we're looking at is we've got a whole lot of reasonable suspicion, and we're starting to develop some probable cause.
He says he's assigned sheriff's deputies to investigate 2020 election fraud.
It's a long, drawn-out investigation, and frankly, they've got a lot more to do.
Well, it's frustrating.
That's the top election official in Kansas during the 2020 election, Secretary of State Scott Schwab, a Republican.
Did you find any major voter fraud in Canada?
Not in our state. We do post-election audits, and we're one of the few states that do the audit before the Board of Canvassers meet to make sure they have the appropriate data.
Have there been any people who have filed reports of voter fraud with the Secretary of State's office?
Yeah, we've had about 12, but they were so nebulous.
You had 12, about a dozen complaints concerning potential voter fraud in the entire state to your office.
To our office.
We tried multiple times to talk to Sheriff Hayden to ask him to explain why he's spending taxpayer dollars looking into an election that has already been audited and certified. He declined. His spokesperson offered this.
You know, we're still investigating that. It's an open investigation, and we're really not going to make any more comments on it.
Turns out, Sheriff Hayden is one of several elected sheriffs who say they're looking into mass fraud in the 2020 presidential election.
They never said they were looking into mass fraud. Again, this is where she's dishonest. They say we have evidence and probable cause in our counties, and we are duty-bound to look into it. They never said they're looking into mass fraud. They never said it would overturn the election. But they literally admit to fraud in those sound bites. Even the state guy she quotes says, there were some allegations and some information of fraud, but not enough to change the election. So fraud's okay, Sarah, as long as it doesn't change the election, you say? Well, it might not have changed the Donald Trump election, but it might have changed a state or a county. You don't know. And to say you do know is wrong. Now, these third-party auditors, you've got the, you know what, Fox in charge of the hen house with those audits. So sheriffs are looking into this, and instead of respecting the rule of law and respecting current open investigations, CNN is literally jumping the gun and coming to false conclusions dishonestly and trying to lead their listeners and viewers to that false narrative. You cannot know what evidence Sheriff Hayden has and or the repercussions, the facts behind his investigation until his investigation is complete. And any journalist worth their salt knows when you discuss the who, what, when, where, why of a case, then you know that that tells the tale and you cannot jump the gun or you simply are undermining, Sarah, listen to me, you are undermining that investigation with your false, dishonest narrative without evidence and without facts because you don't know what their investigation has unearthed, do you? So shame on you dishonest journalists. Shame on all of you. There's more than one open investigation right now, by the way, and there's good reason for it. All right, how far are we into this interview? All right, so the thing's like 6 minutes, but we're almost at 3 minutes, and we haven't even talked about Mac yet, right? So they spend an hour and 25 minutes with Mac. They produce an event, and they first attack a sitting sheriff with a current open investigation, kind of hinting that there's nothing there and he's off his rocker. Crazy. It isn't true. But here's the rest. Go.
Widely debunked by secretaries of state across the country and dozens of courts. But their ideas are applauded, even encouraged, by an organization they are all members of. The organization is the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, run by a former Arizona sheriff, Richard
Pause.
Mack.
Now, she says they're all members of. They're not all members of the CSPO. That's a
no,
lie again.
Yeah.
That's a lie. It's dishonest. It's faulty reporting because she doesn't do her homework because she has a narrative to push. Go ahead, Cam.
Our biggest concern now at the CSPOA is election fraud.
That was Richard Mack at the conference he puts on in Vegas. He has formed a whole dues-paying organization around the idea of constitutional sheriffs, who he says
Pause.
Should...
A whole dues-paying organization. So now she's trying to make it that Richard's just out for money. It's a dishonest inference that is wrong. Yes, it's a dues-paying organization, but so is almost any other organization out there. What she should say is a training organization to help train people to keep their oaths of office. Dues-paying organization has this slant, this manipulative reality, as if other organizations don't have dues-paying of any kind. And I submit to you that CNN has all kinds of dues-paying, right? All right, skip the break, Cam, go.
Not enforce laws they deem unconstitutional, even if passed by legislatures.
Do you think that the 2020 election was fraudulent?
No one knows that. And people
Pause. That is the takeaway. Do you think that there's fraud in the 2020 election? No one knows that. But they pretend they do know that. Now listen, they also want to narrow it to just the 2020 election. To me, it's only partially about the 2020 election. It's really about elections in America going forward and building confidence and trust in the election process for the American people going forward that matters. She doesn't focus on that either. She just tries to argue. Here it is.
Came out like William Barr and said, oh, well, there could have been some fraud, but it wouldn't have changed the election. He's a liar.
Secretary of States from across this country have said, we do know that. There was not enough fraud to change anything. And
they're lying.
Hold on.
They're lying.
His view on the attack on the Capitol.
And I said, anybody that broke into the Capitol deserves to be arrested. But what the FBI has done and the way they've been going after people, and people are still sitting in prison without charges and without trials, and what they have done, oh my gosh. It proves that the FBI will do anything they're told. They're a bunch of Nuremberg officers.
You just compared the Federal Bureau of
Investigation. Now, you take an hour and 25-minute interview, and you take two of the most controversial topics in your 3 minutes that you're going to give Sheriff Mack, and you attack him as running a payer organization or a funded or, you know, a dues-charging organization, and then you go into, hey, you believe there's election fraud despite all evidence? Well, I would say there's investigations. There's also been arrests, by the way. If you go look at the Heritage Foundation information, they have hundreds of cases of convictions. When you look at the history of election fraud in America, America is rife with fraud. It's historically relevant as well. The Democrats claimed fraud before they didn't, if you will, as well. But now she literally then tries to destroy Mack over this Nuremberg officer thing. Well, any of you who's heard about the raid on Mar-a-Lago, that's Nuremberg style. Because they're doing only what they were told. She doesn't let Mack make this point well enough in her interview on CNN, but in the long interview, Richard explains to her what he means by that comment. The rest of the interview continues.
Officers.
Yes.
The rank and file.
Yes.
To Nazis.
They just do what they're told.
It is real disturbing to hear someone who was in law enforcement to compare the FBI with the slaughter, people who slaughtered 6 million Jews and many other people.
Okay.
Do you see how that could create, I mean, a really bad taste in people's mouth to hear a former sheriff say that?
You're taking that way too far. Because this is what
Nuremberg. Just compared them
okay.
to.
Okay.
I mean,
but this
you
is what,
made the comparison, not
okay.
me.
All right. Fair enough. But I will tell you why. Because the Nuremberg trial brought up one particular point, and it's you can't hold me responsible because I was just following orders.
He says constitutional sheriffs won't, and therefore sees an essential role for them in the electoral process.
I will tell you one thing. There is overwhelming evidence that cannot be dismissed, and all we're asking for is for sheriffs to conduct honest and fair investigations to determine if there is fraud.
Now, former Sheriff Matt's contention that alleged January 6th rioters.
So what's the mark now? What's the time? All right. So 240, or basically 250, 350, 455. She didn't even give Mack 3 minutes out of an hour and 25-minute interview. And every bit of it, every single bit from start to finish was an attack. You can't tell me any of that was letting Richard fairly make his points. When Ammon Bundy had to go to prison for 2 years, half of it in solitary confinement, and he was literally guilty in the end of nothing. And when the judge declared a mistrial because of the abuse of the FBI, comparing them to Nuremberg officers in the sense that they're doing just what they're told is a fair, realistic comparison. When you have the people in Michigan who wanted to commit a citizen's arrest on the governor for her illegal activity, and they turn it into a kidnapping charge, and in the end, nobody is convicted of anything, but the government says the FBI created entrapment. Do you think those two cases, Sarah, amount to the point Mack made? Without a doubt. And for you to suggest otherwise is completely dishonest. We have hundreds of cases. What about Lon Horiucci shooting Vicky Weaver when she had a baby in her arms and she was unarmed, a threat to no one, and he literally cold blood murdered her? Are you getting the picture, Sarah, or do you still not get it? See, I could go on for hours of the abuses of the FBI. January 6th, people in prison. They're supposed to have a speedy trial. They're supposed to be able to face their accusers. They're supposed to, but because of the threats and the intimidation, we have more and more and more and more evidence of that all the time, not to mention the Trump raid. What about the raid that the FBI tipped off the mainstream press on for Roger Stone? Folks, what about that combined with the IRS? By my father's grave is another grave that on the front of it, on that grave, I have a photo of this. It says, cause of death, IRS. So you know what, Sarah? Shame on you for your dishonest narrative as if somehow the FBI and the IRS hold the moral high ground. Have you lost your mind? All right, the rest of the interview continues. We don't have much left.
Are in jail and have been sitting there uncharged is patently false. There have been hundreds of charges. Some people have decided to plead guilty, others not guilty. Some are awaiting trial. There have also been many investigations into the 2020 election vote, including in his own home state of Arizona. There were official elections, and there was also a partisan partisan look into this 2020 election, and both of
them. Sarah, if we have more evidence and we investigate the evidence that we get, how does that relate to what was already done? Let's say that you have a murder and you can't find the murderer, and so you eventually put it to a, what do they call it, a cold case? And then later you get more evidence. What do you do, Sheriff? You open the investigation again, right?
Absolutely.
Well, she's saying, no, it's already a done deal. Quit. You're wasting your time. She's a liar. Yeah. She's dishonest. She's violating everything that we hold dear in America. Okay? Right. It isn't true. Now, she spends her time on this January 6th and says it's patently false that people have waited. Look, you tell me there's speedy trials? When did this happen, Sheriff? January 6th, 20 what?
2020. No,
so
2021.
Okay, so it's been what? A year and a half now?
Over a year and a half.
And many of those people didn't have charges for months. Now, yes, because we're exposing this issue, more are getting charges now. But what about a speedy trial? Have they had a speedy trial, Sarah?
But she's claiming she checked every single person that's sitting in prison over the January 6th issue.
Yeah, because it's patently false.
Patently disingenuous.
Okay, but she's not telling the truth. She hasn't investigated it. She doesn't know what she's talking about. She's just peddling the narrative.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, she's just peddling the narrative. And I'll give you an example. What about Stuart Rhodes? Why is he in prison? Has he had a speedy trial? I know he's been in jail for months, and they're debating the charges right now. Anyway, time will tell, but here's the rest of her interview. So she gives really Richard Mack barely 3 minutes and attacks him literally the whole time. Takes the most argumentative and then takes those issues and then takes them out of context as well.
Found.
Shocking, but reality. Okay, go.
One of them done by the alleged cyber ninjas, or the so-called cyber ninjas in Maricopa County. They all found the same thing.
Yep.
That Joe Biden won the 2020 election. Sheriff Mack, though, not buying it, Anderson.
I mean, I can't believe this person was a law enforcement officer. I mean, yeah.
Sarah and Seidner. He's teaching other law enforcement officers. Yeah.
Great. Sarah Seidner, thanks so much. We'll be right back.
See, now think about it. I can't believe he's a law enforcement officer. And my question is this. I can't believe this guy was so right that he beat Bill Clinton at the Supreme Court. I can't believe this guy served as a law enforcement officer and as a cop for over 20 years and didn't commit a single violent act against anybody. He was a stellar cop with a record. He went to the FBI Academy. He had a stellar record as sheriff. This is where they're dishonest in their narrative. They want you to believe this is just some redneck frothing at the mouth, crazy conspiracy theory. Look, this is a guy that knows how to investigate, had a stellar record in the police force, became a two-time sheriff, literally had no violence on his record, literally a man who went to the FBI Academy and beat Bill Clinton to the Supreme Court because he was right and Bill was wrong. And out of that, that was the whole reason that they met, because Bill lost and Sheriff Mack won at the Supreme Court. And that's what they boil an hour and 25-minute interview down to less than 3 minutes full of attacks. And even when you're not even there to respond to the attacks, Cooper attacks you, and you don't even get a chance to respond, Sheriff.
Yeah, that's why I'm going to write him and say, hey, put me back on Anderson and let me have Anderson ask me about it. Have him ask me about the interview. Have him ask me about Donald Trump. Because I told her on that interview, this is not about Donald Trump. I even went so far as to say I don't care about Donald Trump. And yet she still made it about Donald Trump. There is another lie, and I cannot believe that she would expose herself that much. And I guess that's why they're not returning your calls or mine. But I'm going to check with somebody at CNN and see if they'll give me another shake. And Sam, I'm telling you, I would do the interview again. And anytime CNN wants to talk to me, I'll do it.
Now, Sheriff, I think that they ought to interview me, the operations, vice president of operations of the CSPOA as well. Because here's what I want to know. So they say, I cannot believe this guy was a law enforcement officer and is teaching other law enforcement officers. Yeah. So I want to reply the same way and say, can you believe these people are pitched as the top newsmakers in the country?
Yeah.
I cannot believe they would have news people that would say, hey, election frauds are patently false. There is no evidence. When there's literally over four sheriff's investigations right now, how do they know it's false if they haven't seen the results of those investigations? And what about the arrests that have already occurred? Yeah. What about the hundreds of examples documented in the Heritage Foundation's database about election and vote fraud? What about the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cases? When it comes to the FBI in January 6th, what about the hundreds of cases where they did not receive a speedy trial, where they did not receive their charges, where threats and intimidation have happened? What about the Ammon Bundy case and all the examples that I gave you where the FBI was guilty of gross misconduct? All that ignored, and can you believe these people are really chief correspondents for some of the major networks in America as honest newsmakers who will tell the truth about who, what, when, where, why? But the fact is, they like, can you believe these people are even in the news, Sheriff?
You know, that's a real good dichotomy that you've brought up. That's really the extreme from left and right, and the extreme, the extremism, which they usually hate.
Yes.
Those reporters, CNN. But the extremism, by the way, of woke. Yeah.
Amen. No question. By the way, did you know I forced CNN to retract?
When?
Oh, yeah. They literally attacked James Edwards, my good friend, said he was a racist. And then because I had on Donald Trump Jr. On Super Tuesday on my show, and I had James with me, and James got to ask a question or two. They literally said that I was a racist and this and that was through Hope Hicks, Trump's spokeswoman, that said that, and it was reported on CNN, and I absolutely rioted and said, have you lost your mind? And then they basically retracted it and changed the statement to say Sam Bushman runs a very well-known historical talk show supporting the Founding Fathers' point of view. So they changed their narrative, and they got caught lying, and I pushed back, and there you have it, CNN. And by the way, to CNN, now they call James Edwards a racist and he's, quote, untouchable. But I don't know if you know, but he used to be a commentator regularly on CNN. So let me ask CNN, if he was a regular commentator on CNN before and you say he's a racist now and you have a completely different narrative, were you that racist before then, CNN, or what's the story? How was he a regular? You wined and dined him back in the day and now he's untouchable? CNN, this again highlights your hypocrisy on multiple fronts. Can you believe these people? They're in the news, Sheriff.
No, I can't. I really can't, because it's not news. It's an attack activist organization, and that's it. They should not call themselves the news. What does CNN stand for? There's got to be a news in there somewhere.
Communist News Network, I think.
Communist News Network.
Just to my opinion, to which I'm entitled. Yeah, I don't want them to assume me. So I'm entitled to my opinion. But my last point on this would be for CNN is this, ladies and gentlemen. If you think you're right and we're wrong, why don't we just have a no holds bar? Sam and Mac on one side, Anderson and Sarah on the other side. And let's let America decide. We'll put up open polls. Mm-hmm. As the discussion unfolds, they can be CNN polls, open polls. And we'll see where the American people stand on the points that we make. And we'll just talk about all these topics. We'll have an absolute forum that will be broadcast live on CNN and all the networks we choose. And we'll just simply have it out and see where the American people stand, Sheriff. It's an open challenge to the CNN propagandists who will not discuss it. Let me give you one last point. They attacked relentlessly at CNN our dear friend, ladies and gentlemen. Do you know his name? Yeah. Do you know his name? His name is Roy Moore. And they attacked him relentlessly on CNN. But it turns out now Judge Roy Moore has been vindicated. He won $8.2 million. You want to know why? Because of defamation. They lied and said that he was banned from a mall because he was trying to pick up and troll for little girls as a pedophile, and they lied and they got caught for defamation, and now this PAC ran by the Democrats has to pay $8.2 million. Hey, CNN, are you going to report the truth and have Roy Moore on and treat him kindly and say you've been wronged and we're going to make it right? Get it done, CNN. Final word to you, Sheriff. You got 20 seconds.
It's a great show, Sam. Thanks for going through this with me. It was extremely exhilarating.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is hard-hitting talk. This is Liberty Roundtable Live. God save the Republic of the United States of America.